connection with our consideration of Lord's Day 11, we read the scriptures in Matthew chapter 1. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll read verses 18 through 25. So Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Passage of God's Word that records for us the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly therefore appropriate for us to consider the truth of Scripture at this time of year so that we might be properly instructed concerning Christ's birth and especially concerning the purpose of Christ's birth. So Matthew 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And that passage of God's Word, along with many other passages of the Scripture, are the biblical basis for the truth of Scripture that is set forth in Lord's Day 11 of the Heidelberg Catechism. So let's take a look at Lord's Day 11. It's found on page 8 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 11, questions 29 and 30. Lord's Day 11, questions 29 and 30. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, Savior? Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not, for though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, either that Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. That's Lord's Day 11 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And with this Lord's Day, you'll notice, beloved, we begin a treatment of the names among a panalan of our Savior. You may ask, why consider the names of our Savior? Why spend time explaining those names? What's the purpose? And what is the point of considering the names of the Lord Jesus Christ? The reason we do that is because names in the Bible, especially as they are given by God, have special meaning and special significance. Those names, as given by God, are not like your names and my name. We have names, and our names are not very significant. We have names given us by our parents simply because they like those names, or because we are named after someone else, and with this purpose for identity, distinguishing us from others. That's why we have names, but there is no special meaning to the names that we have. But the names that God gives in the scripture are different. They're not arbitrary. They're not chosen and given by God simply for identification, but they are chosen and given by God because they have special meaning. And that is true of the name Jesus, a name that tells us two things concerning him. Kum sino siya at ano ang kanyang ginagawa. Who he is and what he does. Notice that Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 mentions this name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 21 is a very brief verse. But even though it is a brief verse, it mentions Araming bagay tungkol sa Jesus Christ. First, it tells us what he does. He saves. He saves his people. It's not simply Jesus an example, but he is Jesus the Savior. Secondly, you'll notice Matthew 1 verse 21 tells us who he saves. He saves not all men, but he saves his people. Only some, the Savior of his people. Then notice too that Matthew 1:21 tells us of the certainty of that salvation. He shall save his people. Not he might save his people. Not he is going to try to save his people. But he will certainly save his people from their sins. And then fourthly, notice Matthew 1:21 tells us from what he saves his people. He saves them from their sins. Not from all kinds of other things, but from mga kasalanan. All that truth concerning our Savior is contained in and really flows out of the name that he is given by God, as that is stated here in Matthew 1, verse 21. The name Jesus. This is what the name Jesus means. The name Jesus means he is the Savior. He is the Savior of his people. He is the Savior of his people from their sins. And he will surely, certainly save them from those sins. That's because the name Jesus means Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Savior. He is God, and he is Savior. He alone is able to do this work. So we consider this Word of God under the theme, Jesus, our Savior. Si Jesus ang ating tanging tagapagligtas. Now this Lord's Day, Lord's Day 11, following from the previous Lord's Day, in which we learned that we need a Savior, makes that assumption. It assumes that we realize that we need a Savior. The question is, ano ang kaligtasan? Well, often salvation is defined this way. A definition that is used, that I have used in teaching children, and it's a good definition. And that is this. Salvation is to be delivered from the greatest evil and to be made a partaker of the highest good. That's salvation. Deliverance from the greatest evil and to be given and made a partaker of the highest good. Those two important things concerning salvation. And so the first question is, what is the greatest evil? Anoan pinakam matinding kasamaan. The greatest evil that you and I face in life is not that we have to suffer. The greatest evil is not that you get sick. The greatest evil is not that you experience pain. The greatest evil is not that you have misery in your life. The greatest evil in your life is not that you are hated by others. The greatest evil in your life is not that your earthly life is a hopeless mess and a complete failure according to the standards of men. Hindi ang lahat ng kahirapan ng ating buhay. But the greatest evil, the worst thing that you could ever experience, the worst thing that you could ever have is Mahiwale sa Dios, separation from God. Being far from God, being pushed away by God from Himself. God not wanting to have anything to do with you. God pushing you away from Himself so far that He pushes you away into the eternal torments of hell, infierno. That's the greatest evil. And it's not a physical separation from God that we're speaking of, because God is still in hell. He's still there in His wrath. But it's a spiritual separation from God. Being separated, you could say, from God's favor. Separated from God's love, separated from the goodness of God toward you. That's the greatest evil. Spiritual separation from God. Espiritual na pagkakahiwalay sa Diyos. And that's what you and I deserve by nature. That's what we deserve. Why do we deserve that? We deserve that because of sin. Ang dahilan ng paghihiwalay na ito ay kasalanan. That's clearly stated in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Notice that with me, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59:2 gives us a description, an explanation of what sin does as far as our relationship to God is concerned. And here is what sin does. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Sin causes separation. We know that from earthly relationships. You know that from the relationships that you have as a parent with your children. You know that from the relationship you have as a husband with your wife, or a wife with your husband. Sin causes separation. Sin, you could say, ruins relationships. Sin wrecks friendships. When sin happens, you're not drawn closer to someone, but sin pushes people apart, because sin creates unhappiness. Sin creates anger. sin creates jealousy. Sin alienates people from each other. And the same is true in relation to God. Because of sin, you could say, first of all, we keep our distance from God. Because of sin, we keep our distance because we are guilty. We are ashamed. We are attempting, by our distance from God, to hide our sins from Him. And we keep our distance from God because we are afraid of God, afraid of His wrath, afraid of His judgment, His anger. But sin causes separation between us and God, especially because God keeps us away. The holy God cannot have fellowship with sinners. And the holy God therefore pushes sinners away. Bunga nang kasalanan ang walang hanggan paghiwalay sa Diyos sa impyerno. So we need deliverance. We need deliverance not simply from the miseries of earthly life, but we need deliverance from the greatest of all evils, separation from God, that comes as a result of sin. That is our greatest need, deliverance from sin. And deliverance from that separation that is between us and God. And that brings us then to the next question. What is the highest good? Ano ang pinakamalaking kabutihan? Since the greatest evil is separation from God, the greatest good is the opposite of that. Ang kapapat. It's the opposite experience and the positive experience of fellowship with God. That's the greatest good. Enjoying a life in which we have intimate covenant fellowship with God. We are in God's family. We are God's children. God is our Father. The Almighty God is our friend. Kaibigan. The greatest blessing is to know that God's favor rests upon you. The greatest blessing is to know that God does not hate you, but that God loves you. The greatest blessing is to know that God doesn't push you away from Himself, but God brings you near, brings you close to Himself in His love. The greatest blessing is on pakikisama sa Diyos, as we will experience that in perfection, and as we will experience that in all its perfection in the glories of heaven. And that's what we need. We need salvation. We need deliverance from the greatest evil, and we need to be made partakers of the highest good. And that brings us to our second point. Yaong hindi makapagliligtas. You know, people of God, that mankind in general will admit that he needs a savior. And so most seek after a savior, someone to rescue them from all their distresses. But they seek a savior in all the wrong places, and they seek a savior for all the wrong reasons. And that's what Lord's Day 11 points out, and in question and answer 30, when it asks, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare, not in Jesus, but of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else. Anyone who does that does not have a Savior. And so we can say, first of all, this: Ang Jesus ng liberalismo ay hindi makapagliligtas. Modern liberals acknowledge Jesus as the Savior, but they make him a different kind of Savior. That's found and that's proclaimed in the liberation theology. I don't know if you've heard of that. Some of you may have. But liberation theology proclaims this kind of Savior. And their gospel, what they say is the good news concerning salvation, is this: Jesus is not a Savior from sin, but Jesus is a Savior from all kinds of other evils in humanity and evils in society. What sort of Savior is he? He is a Savior from political evils. He's a Savior from war and from corrupt government and from high taxes and from capitalism and from oppressive rulers. That's the kind of Savior they say he is. Or they say he is a Savior from social evils. He's a Savior from racism. He's a Savior from inequality. He's a Savior from injustice and crime and disease. Or they say he is a Savior from economic evils. He's a Savior from poverty. He's a Savior from death. He's a Savior from famine. He's a Savior from the crash of the economy. Those kinds of things are supposedly the saving work of Jesus Christ. And that's also the kind of Jesus that is declared by those who preach what is referred to as a health and wealth gospel. Kalusugan at kayaman ng Evangelio. Jesus is set forth by them as the great problem solver. Accept him as your Savior, they say, and everything will be well in your life. Follow his example, follow his morals, give as generously as he gave, because after all, he gave his own life, and you will succeed in your earthly life. You will have a happy life. You will have an ideal life. Everything will be as you want it to be. You will have a beautiful wife. You'll have a handsome husband. You'll have two perfect children. There will be no sickness and no trouble in your life. You will be rich. You will be successful. Amasaya at kasiyasiya at magandang makalupang buhay. That's what they claim. That's what they say Jesus will do and will give. But that kind of Jesus, you must understand, does not and cannot save. And that's because he is not doing anything about the fact that we are alienated from God because of sin. So then we must understand that the Jesus of Roman Catholicism cannot save. That's obviously the main error that the Catechism has in mind in question and answer 30, when it asks, do such then believe in Jesus the only Savior who do this, who seek their salvation and their welfare of saints? Of saints. Now, we certainly, in speaking about what Roman Catholicism teaches, have to be fair in our presentation of what they believe. And this is what we must realize. They do not deny Roman Catholicism does not deny that Jesus is the Savior. They don't deny that. Roman Catholicism does not want to take Jesus and to set him completely aside, out of the picture altogether, and replaced altogether. Roman Catholicism doesn't say that and doesn't do that. What Roman Catholicism does, and that's the error that we must understand concerning them, is this. They want to add something to Jesus and to his work. Basically, they say what Jesus does isn't enough. Their idea is Nangang gailangan si Jesus nang tulong sa gawain ng pagliligtas. His work must be complemented by the work of others. And therefore, Roman Catholicism says, when you seek salvation, you seek your salvation from Jesus and from others as well. From Jesus Christ and from the saints, from Jesus Christ and from Mary. You ask them to intercede for you. You ask them to mediate for you between yourself and God. Or they say you seek salvation from Jesus Christ and from the priests and from the church. Run to the church. Run to the priests. They have the power to forgive your sin. Or you seek salvation from Jesus Christ and from yourself. You add to the work of Jesus Christ by your good works. You add to the work of Jesus Christ by your penance. You add to the work of Jesus Christ by your prayers. You add to the work of Jesus Christ by the coins that you drop in the church's collection. Jesus Christ, according to Rome, doesn't do enough. Jesus that is presented and spoken of by Roman Catholicism does not save. Because either Jesus Christ does it all, or he does nothing at all. Voila. He either does everything or he does nothing. And then we may also say that ang Jesus nang Arminianismo e Hindi makapagliligtas. What do Arminians say? Well, first of all, they say this. They say, we believe that Jesus Christ redeemed us. We believe that Jesus Christ purchased us free from sin and death and hell by his death on the cross. The Arminian will admit, we cannot free ourselves from hell. That is, we cannot pay the price to God for our redemption. We cannot ourselves go to hell and experience eternity in hell and by that satisfy the justice of God. The Arminians will say that. And we agree. That's true. That is true. Then the Arminians will also say this. If we are going to be benefited by the redemption that Jesus Christ earned for us, we must believe in Jesus Christ. And again, we would agree with that. We're not going to experience Christ's salvation, and we're not going to be benefited by Christ's salvation without faith. Paul said that to the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Referring, of course, emphasizing, of course, that in order for us to experience and to receive the blessings of Christ in that way that we can enjoy them and be benefited from them, we must believe in Jesus Christ and in him alone. But then the Arminian says this, and that's the problem. You must believe first. Unam mananam palataya. Believing comes first, and believing comes first as your work, something that you have to do in your own strength. Now the Reformed faith confesses, yes, we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are commanded to believe in Him. But the Reformed faith says our believing in the Lord Jesus Christ comes not first, but comes as a fruit, as a blessing from the fact that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Christ's work is first. But the Arminian says Christ comes into you only after you believe in Him. You have to ask Him to come into your life. You have to invite Jesus into your life. Jesus, the Arminian says, knocks on the door of your heart, and you have to open up your heart for Jesus Christ to come in and let Him in. Well, to that we must again confess that Jesus does not and cannot save. He is Mahina Atvalan Kaka Yahan. He cannot do a thing till you let Him do it. They make Him weak. They make Him a Jesus who is always waiting for you to do something first. Only then will He save them. And what the Arminian forgets, of course, or denies, is that one man cannot seek Christ. Two, man will not seek Christ. And three, man does not want to seek Christ. He cannot, he will not. He doesn't even want to. As we are by nature in sin, we hate God, we hate Christ, we have no desire for Him and for His salvation. We cannot, we will not, and we don't want to. And therefore the Jesus that is presented by the Arminians is a Jesus who in the end saves absolutely no one. Because no one seeks Him of themselves. And He is left as a Jesus who died on the cross for no benefit or purpose to any single person, according to the Arminian teaching. So He is not a true Jesus or a true Savior. And that brings us then to our third point. He who alone can save. Shana tangin makapagliliktas. So who then is the Savior? Where does all of this bring us? You could say, who are we left with after we have considered the fact that the Jesus of liberalism cannot save, the Jesus of the Roman Catholics cannot save, the Jesus of the Arminians cannot save? Who are we left with? The Jesus of the Scriptures. Jesus of the Word of God is the only Savior. Sha'e ang ating tangin tagapagliktas. Jesus that is described in Matthew 1 verse 21, thou shalt call His name Jesus because He shall save His people from their sins. He is Jesus who saves. He is Jesus who certainly saves because He shall save them. He is Jesus who saves His people from their sins. And He is Jesus who saves His people. Those important truths concerning Him in Matthew 1 verse 21. Because He is the only Savior, That means as well that he is, as the Catechism mentions too, also our complete Savior. Ating gana tagapagliktas. He's our complete Savior. He's our complete Savior because he saves our body and our soul. He's our complete Savior because he saves us from every aspect of sin. From the guilt of sin, from the pollution of sin, from the shame of sin, and from the punishment of sin. He does a complete work in saving us. He's our complete Savior because he does it all. From beginning to end, he does the work of salvation. From regeneration at the very beginning of our life as God's children, all the way through eternity in heaven. It's the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's a complete Savior. Philippians 1 verse 6. The good work that he has begun in us, he will continue and he will complete and perfect on the day of his return. He is the complete Savior because he is the Almighty Savior. Almighty to save. There is no sin that is too great to be forgiven. There is no sinner that is too evil to be redeemed by the Son of God. His work and his work alone delivers us from the greatest evil, and his work alone provides for us and gives to us the highest good. We find in him ang lahat ng bagay na kailangan para sa ating kaligtasan. He is our only and our complete Savior. And in light of that, it is a very, very serious thing to believe in and to seek salvation from anyone else. It is. That's why the Catechism, concerning all of these other supposed saviors, is so sharp in its condemnation of them. The question in question 30 is, does anyone who does not believe in Jesus as their only Savior and seeks their salvation from others or from themselves or from saints, do any of them have salvation? And the answer is, they do not, because they do not believe in the true Jesus Christ. Because even though they boast of him in words, they say they believe in Jesus, the Jesus that they believe in is not the true Jesus Christ of the Word of God. And therefore, they do not find in the Jesus that they seek, in the Savior to whom they look, they do not find all things necessary for their salvation. The Catechism is very sharp. Anyone who seeks part of his salvation elsewhere denies Jesus Christ and does not truly believe in him. And it might just be a fraction of a percentage. It might be just the prayer that one prays, the good work that one does. It might just be the sighs that a person makes over his or her sins. But if a person does not confess that 100% of their salvation is the work of Jesus Christ, Indi si Jesus ang ating tagapagligtas. That's a strong statement. And a statement that is too strong for many. What do they say? You should tolerate other beliefs. You should tolerate those who do not believe in the Jesus that you believe in. But the fact is, this is the truth of the gospel. This is the truth of the Word of God. And this is the truth that is concerned, and notice this, beloved, this is the truth that is concerned with the honor of Jesus as the Son of God, and the honor, therefore, of God Himself. And we must not, therefore, hesitate to warn others to abandon their false Christs and their false gospel. Jesus is the only Savior, or He is no Savior at all. If we seek even just a small part of our salvation elsewhere, we will not have salvation. And we need to be warned as well to guard against straying from Jesus as the only way, and to think that we can add to what Jesus does by our good works, by my faith, my prayers, my obedience, my coming to church, my giving to God, as if those things add to the work of Jesus Christ, as if those things might guarantee that we will be saved by Him. We cannot do anything to be saved. So what is our calling? It is this: Hanapinmo ankalitasan ke Jesus atsa kanya laman. That's the scripture, Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And John 14, verse 6, where Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What did Christ say? I am the way, the only way. So many that want to say today, well, you've presented there all the different kinds of Jesuses, all the different kinds of salvation. Now it's just up to each individual person to decide which one they like the best. If they like the Jesus of Arminianism, that's fine. They'll get to heaven in that way. If they like the Jesus of the Roman Catholics, that's fine. Eventually they'll get to heaven through that way. If they like the Jesus of liberalism, that's okay as well. He will get them to heaven also. But no, the Word of God says, Jesus Himself says, I am the way, and no man cometh unto the Father but through me, but by me. So may we do that. Seek our salvation only in Jesus Christ. Receive Him by a true faith, and you will find in Him all things necessary for your salvation. May God grant that to all those who are His. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, bless to us Thy word in this morning, and be with us in this day, that we may in all things honor Thee and honor Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for His great work of delivering us from the greatest evil and giving us the greatest blessing of all, life forever with Thee, our God. In His name we pray. Amen.